did or didn't, none of your business. We are talking about the other guy. Do not go for this story. Of course, I was talking about a king who was right, the best, right? He knew what he's doing. So we could say, yes, he was a real master, so he could see through these fellows. But why should we bring that in? Because that was not the stuff we were talking about. We are not supposed to talk about that. We are not here to talk about the validity of that super vision that Buddha had. We are not working like that. Remember, we passed it. Here, we don't doubt it, we don't need a proof, and that's not what we are talking about. Do not lose the line of the meaning here. Here we want to understand the relationship between form and the essence. And what is what, right? Go ahead, please.
When that slave came from the warm bath, that king and lofty personage called him to his presence. Help, lasting happiness be yours. You are very fine and elegant and good-looking. Oh, alas, if there were not in you that which so-and-so says about you.
Do you remember this? This happened before, right? He talked with the first fellow, right? And first fellow was very enchanting. Then he sent him to wash himself. He told the second one what? He said, you look good. But the other guy was talking to you about you. What was his reaction? He said, as far as I know, he's an honest fellow. I have never seen him cheating. He's honest, he shows what he is. So maybe I'm like that, the king. No, you're pulling my leg and thing like that, right? Remember that. Now, back. The guy is back from the bathroom, he will do the same thing. He will say, oh, what a good-looking, clean fellow you are. But alas, that your friend was talking negative about you. Yes.
Whoever beheld your face would become glad. The sight of you would be worth the empire of the world. He said, O king, utter some hint of what that miscreant said about me. The king said, in the first place, he described you as double-faced, saying that you are ostensibly a remedy, secretly a disease. When he heard from the king the malice of his companion, at once the sea of his anger surged up. That slave foamed and reddened, so that the billows of his anger exceeded all bounds.
Yo, before everything, what happened here? Remember the beginning of the story and the way, because this is what we have to do, right? To pay attention how they are telling their story. Narration is important. And the little tricks are sometimes very important. Remember the trick of Moses burning his tongue? Yes, serious stuff. But do you remember how enormously we needed it? I mean, the tongue of Moses should be burned in childhood, because Moses is supposed to be incapable of talking. So, do you remember?
When
God told him, go and say this and this to Pharaoh, he said, choose another fellow. Do you remember Moses was not a volunteer? He resisted. I said, choose another one, I cannot talk. He said, doesn't matter, take your brother with you, he will talk for you. Why? Why this silly part? Just one simple stuff. Yes. When Pharaoh will say, I said that, this brother has to say, we. We don't leave our saints alone. somehow somebody should be there, because they shouldn't say I. It's we. These tricks. Here, he narrated a story, right? He made it up. First was a quite good welcome, and it was not very long, right? With the second one, it was a very long conversation. Even when he blamed the guy started to swear from whom come to the recent fellows. Remember how many stories you have? Here, did you see what did King say? When he asked me, what did he say behind my back? I said, only one thing. He said, you have a double face. And that was enough for this fellow to explode. Remember this? Now we're right to the conclusion, yes?
He said, from the first moment he was associated with me, he was a great eater of dung, like a dog in famine.
This is swearing, not blaming or saying he was just a shit-eating dog. Yeah.
Now, I have a question, if I may. Yeah. Does Rumi use a word that's closer to what you just said or to what Nicholson's sort of more polite word?
Your guess.
Well, I suspect it's closer to yours, but...
I do this because of one of my teachers, especially. I had this teacher that I learned a lot, really. And he has a very special place in my heart. But he was a mullah, right, with a turban and things like that. And I believe in his entire life, he has never said to someone, shut up. Not using the bad words and things like that. And he was really hurt by Jung. And he made a book, it's 14, 16 volume. And do you remember that the story of the handmaiden making love to a donkey? That story is skipped totally. Because there was no way to do what Nicholson did. Nicholson, they taught him the trick. He will put it in Latin. As if it is. What does that mean? Right? The others will do the same. So I was conscious about it, that this teacher I love very much, no way that he will read even those stories for us. Then what? Then I realized, this will never happen in book one and book two. Gradually Rumi will change the words. Then I started to look at the words. You know that in that time we were doing something silly that now is computer does it. To find the words that this single word, how many times is repeated, where, and blah, 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 blah. Then I realized that all those words are in book 4 and 5, and not 6. Because over there, the subjects are sharp, and he intend to do it. I mean, by harsh word, will bring your attention, and he's at book 4 or 5. Means, after 10 years of teaching to these people, if they are offended if he says shit, or even penis, he will say it. Why? Because we arrive at the understanding, little by little he brings us that, whenever I say a woman, he said, listen, this wisdom doesn't know any masculine or feminine. So whenever I say feminine, I'm pointing towards intelligence. So don't think male chauvinistic or female chauvinistic here. There is no male and female. In the stories like that, because intelligence gives birth, because it could become the mother of the other intelligence, because intelligence goes generation by generation. That's how we learn it. So in our story, a lady could play the role of that. Your spirit, Here is the king. Because we believe you are your kingdom. Things like that. So over there, when he's talking, he will use intentionally. Why do I say intentionally? Because, you know, I know this language very good. And I know the words that he could use instead of that. Because Persian language is like that. It's not a real language. It's a lot of stuff that do whatever you want with it. You could build up because you explain their stuff. There is no one word for this stuff. You explain it in a way. So you could explain everything. And there are a lot of words. But no, he will use the word, and I hope in our new version we could use that word. But I don't think so. No, because it doesn't make sense then. Because what do you feel if I say that someone is eating shit? What do you think? Huh? In Persian language, means somebody is talking big mouth. He is not supposed to talk about this subject. So it's like that. But yes, here he is using exactly that word. He will say he was a dog in time of
famine,
and not that he was eating, he was shit eater.
So I would put it in English.
It's shit eater.
Yeah, I was. What I wrote
it
down
was
like,
very shit eater.
Like a famished shit eating dog.
Too poetic. We are trying to simplify the puzzle. You are making another puzzle. Now the conclusion. Yes?
As he satirized him moment after moment, like a bell, the king put his hand on his lips, saying, "Enough." He said, "I know you from him by that. In you the spirit is foul, and in your companion the mouth. Therefore, sit far off, O foul-spirited one, that he may be the commander and you under his command."
You see, the conclusion. After this testing, king said, "Oh, sit down. Now I understand what's going on. You're John, not soul, not the spirit. John, that animal existence. You're John. Is filthy and his mouth is filthy. Therefore, I order you to sit further. He will be closer and he will be Amir, you will be Ma'amur." Amir and Ma'amur are here opening up a very deep conversation about philosophy and things like that. You could bring it that. Simply, Amir means the one who gives the order, and Ma'amur is the responsible fellow who follows the order. But there is much more than that. Because Amr in Arabic carries a very elusive meaning as well. It's like this, they go to Muhammad and they say, "Muhammad, what is the ruh? The breath." You know that ruh is exactly the breath, right? And we say, "What is the breath? Go and ask your God." You say, "Okay." We'll go up, we'll come down and say, "Ask it." He said, "Go and tell them breath is my God's order." Period. قُلْ الرُّوْ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. And that's the only explanation. Nothing else. Over there, they talk about Amr. And they say, here Amr has another meaning. Instead of that one ordering someone, Amr is something which is not the act, which is not something happening, it's be-